It's nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from gray and breezy Kodiak, Alaska, where we have steady winds from the east at 22 at the airport right now, 41 degrees with a light rain fog mist and a steady breeze from the east. We're expecting those easterly winds to gust as high as 30 today and tonight. And we're expecting some rain today, as much as 3/4 of an inch over the course of the day. Rain tonight, too, turning to rain and snow showers between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., and then completely to snow after 1 a.m. Low around 34 overnight. Little or no snow accumulation is expected tonight, though. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak is updating their waterfront plan. Two big deadlines are looming at midnight tonight. And why there have been no floor sessions at the State House this week. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Biden administration's trying to offer some relief to motorists who are now paying on average more than $4 for a gallon of regular gasoline. The president's ordering the release of an unprecedented 1 million barrels of oil a day for the next 6 months from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Biden is also invoking the Defense Production Act.
I'm issuing a directive to strengthen our clean energy economy. I'm going to use the Defense Production Act to secure American supply chains for the critical materials that go into batteries for electric vehicles and the storage of renewable energy, lithium, graphite, nickel, and so much more.
U.S. inflation remains the highest it's been in some 40 years. Tomorrow, the government will reveal how the labor market has fared in March when it releases its big monthly employment report. The oil cartel known as OPEC Plus will stick to its current plan to increase oil production gradually. NPR's Brittany Cronin reports the group is staying the course despite a recent surge in oil prices.
In a short virtual meeting, OPEC Plus decided to continue increasing oil production by around 400,000 barrels per day, as widely expected. That means OPEC is sticking to a previous agreement to gradually increase production as the global economy continues to recover from the pandemic. The Biden administration had hoped that OPEC would increase its oil production a lot more to help relieve oil and gasoline prices. But OPEC members are limited in how much production they can add anyway, and some countries have struggled to meet the existing agreement. Oil prices spiked after Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia is a member of OPEC Plus. Brittany Cronin, NPR News.
Ukrainian officials say most Russian troops have now left the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in northern Ukraine. NPR's Greg Myrie tells us Russian forces seized the plant at the beginning of the war.
While the Russian forces have been in control of Chernobyl for the past month, Ukrainian workers continued their job of monitoring the plant for any safety issues. Ukraine's nuclear agency says in a statement that two columns of Russian troops have left the plant, leaving only a small number behind. At the Pentagon, a senior U.S. official describes the move as part of a broader pullback of Russian troops from areas around the capital, Kyiv, and other parts of northern Ukraine. The Chernobyl plant, site of the world's worst nuclear disaster in 1986, is about 60 miles north of Kyiv and just a few miles south of the border with Belarus. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
A spokesperson says CIA Director William Burns has tested positive for the coronavirus. Burns will be working from home, quarantining for 5 days. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 550 points, 1.5% at the close. At 34,678, the Nasdaq was down 221 points, 1.5%. It's NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
City officials in Kodiak say they're moving forward with an ambitious effort to rethink the community's decade-old waterfront master plan. The city has already identified some areas, like Near Island's St. Herman Harbor, as high priority for upgrades. City Manager Mike Venge says there's a lot of interest, noting the standing-room-only crowd last Friday at the Comfish Forum.
I was really happy to see such a full room. We got some good questions. It's just the beginning of the work to be done.
Kodiak's harbor master and a representative from Fairbanks-based engineering firm Respec presented on the project's next steps as part of the $100,000 consulting contract. Three-quarters of that contract was paid for with a grant from the Denali Commission, and it includes soliciting residents' feedback for the future of the Kodiak waterfront. Respec will be rolling out a series of community feedback surveys in partnership with the city in the coming months, including an interactive map where users can tap a location and leave a comment about needed improvements. The timeline for those surveys has not yet been released. Dvenge says going through the public input phase with the help of a consulting firm will allow the city to look at city-owned coastline more holistically.
That's what this is all about. It's not just, you know, boat slips. It's more about the adaptation of downtown waterfront for walking tours, for, you know, who knows yet what the public wants.
Developing Gibson Cove, a small harbor adjacent to the cargo dock, and improving parking on Near Island already have come up as areas the public would like to see addressed after Friday's forum. The city last updated its waterfront master plan in 2010. Kodiak's Port and Harbor Advisory Board is slated to discuss the master plan overhaul when it meets tomorrow. The city hasn't yet announced when it'll begin taking public comment on the plan. Two big deadlines are looming by the end of day today for Alaska residents. Today is the last day Alaskans can file for their permanent fund dividends. No amount has been set for this year's check, but it could be bigger than last year's payment of just over $1,100. Governor Mike Dunleavy has voiced his support for a bigger check. Alaska's House Finance Committee released a draft budget this month that also outlines a higher PFD, although its proposal is through a combined payment with an energy relief check. Eligible residents can apply for their permanent fund dividends online by visiting mypfd.alaska.gov. Today is also the last day for eligible crew to file for the 2018 Gulf of Alaska Pacific Cod Disaster Relief Payments. Those payments were allocated by Congress and are distributed by the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. Online applications are available at relief.psmfc.org. Both applications are due by midnight tonight. 26 people who work in the Capitol have tested positive for COVID-19, including four or five legislators, according to House Speaker Louise Stutes. Stutes, a Kodiak Republican, has imposed a requirement that House members wear masks during floor sessions, but three members, Republicans Ben Carpenter of Nikiski, David Eastman of Wasilla, and Christopher Kirka of Wasilla, have refused to do that, and as a result, the House hasn't held a full session all week. The Legislative Council has not reintroduced a mask requirement for the entire Capitol. Last month, the council dropped mask and testing requirements for those who work in the building. Stutes says she is doing what she can to minimize the spread of the virus. She said, "Masking may not be the end-all to everything, but it certainly is helpful. It's one of the many things you can do." Stutes said she had been clear when she dropped the mask requirement earlier this year that she would bring it back if there was a cluster of cases. She went on to say, quote, "We're stymied because a few people have determined that we're violating their civil and personal rights by asking them to wear a mask," close quote. In a statement on Wednesday, the Republican House Minority Caucus described canceling floor sessions as, quote, "a result of fear and virtue signaling," close quote. The caucus said it was present and ready to work. "We do not want the people's business to be thwarted due to obvious delay tactics," the statement said. Stutes says she plans to resume work on the state budget on Monday in the hopes that the peak in cases will have crested by then. She said the House will meet each day as it finishes work on the budget. The Kamai Alaska Native Dance Festival returned to Bethel last weekend. After 2 years without a gathering, Kamai's return signaled the revival of Yurok and the coming together again as a community after the long isolation of the pandemic. A smaller venue welcomed a smaller audience than previous years, but as KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports, it was a grateful one.
Chamai! 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 Oh, good. Welcome, everyone.
The first song of Chamai was not to accompany a yuok, but instead a smudging.
And whatever you came with, this will help chase it away from you and it'll never come back to you.
The organizers dedicated Chamai to everyone in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta and around the world who has died of COVID-19. The opening song speaks of being cleansed with smoke and then striving to do better. The first group to take the stage, the Bethel Regional High School Warrior Dance Group, continues the same song.
It's about time we get our groove on. My name is Maurice Nanluk. My Yupik name is Baista.
Baista is who you heard singing at the beginning of the song. His son, David, a ninth grader, then sang it for the Bethel Regional High School Dance Group. Baista and his wife taught all eight of their children to dance, drum, and sing, including David.
I wasn't really sure if he wanted me to jump or if he chose for me to jump.
It was just expected of him, he said.
All of you guys learn the songs. If nobody else is going to be doing it, that's what you guys are there for.
Baista is the lead drummer and singer for a Bethel community dance group. He also teaches Yuok at Ayapun Ulit Narvet, the Bethel Yupik Immersion School. During the first year of the pandemic, he taught Yuok over Zoom, and he danced with his family inside his home, making sure his children remembered the songs. He called the return of Chamai, quote, a time of good healing. For the Gwithluk dance group, preparing for Chamai brought them back together after 2 years of not dancing.
It was like 2 weeks ago we had to practice.
Olga Uterayuk organizes the Gwithluk dancers.
It kind of warms my heart, and you know, when we had our first practice at home, I felt that peace. I felt I needed this.
The Gwithluk group has changed since before the pandemic. There are more young people who've joined and fewer elders. Three of the group's elders died of COVID-19. Another died of cancer. Dancing together, Olga said, is a way to honor them. Another group that Chamai motivated to start dancing again came from Nebuskiak. The group is mostly school-aged children. The pandemic was the first time in the children's lives that Yuok wasn't in their village. But that's not the case for the older generation. For most of the 1900s, Nebuskiak didn't drum and dance. The missionaries had forbidden it. That changed a little over 20 years ago, around the year 2000.
We were able to breathe again.
Julia Sipperi is the lead drummer and singer for the Nebuskiak dancers. It's unusual for a woman to lead a group, but her great-grandfather had drummed, and she helped revive dancing and drumming in Nebuskiak as a young teacher over two decades ago.
when I was growing up, I used to wonder why we didn't dance, why we didn't sing and drum like the other villages. I knew we were missing out.
An elder taught her six Nabuskiak songs that existed before the missionaries arrived. The rest are new. Many of them Sipari wrote. Like this song about playing basketball.
Singing and drumming and dancing, we have a sense of togetherness, family. We learn the language. We get to pass it down to the younger generation.
Seeing the younger generation dance gives Bethel elder Peter Achek hope. He smudged the room at the beginning of the festival to cleanse the space. Then, for him, dancing suspended the grief and hardship of the past 2 years. Through the first day of the festival, he sat front row center.
I forgot there was a world out there. But I didn't want to break a moment even.
With Yukdun translation help from Julia Jimmy, at the Chamai Alaska Native Dance Festival in Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
From food to fashion, science to tech talk, or for just plain fun, we've got you covered. From the art of all things, here's Lasana Jeffries.
Before the days of paper money, Americans traded animal skins, including deer and elk bucks, for goods and services, hence the word buck to describe money. WD-40 stands for Water Displacement 40th Attempt, and that's how many tries it took Norm Larson, a chemist, to concoct a formula that would prevent corrosion by displacing water. You can't fit a cubic foot of dirt in a 5-gallon bucket. A cubic foot of dirt is 7.48 gallons of dirt. Reno, Nevada is further west than Los Angeles, California. In order to take the Panama Canal from the Pacific Ocean to the Caribbean Sea, you sail in a generally western direction. The term "the whole nine yards" came from World War II fighter pilots in the Pacific. When arming their planes on the ground, the 50 caliber machine gun ammo belts measured exactly 27 feet before being loaded into the fuselage. If the pilots fired all of their ammo at a target, it got the whole nine yards. A shrimp's stomach is in its head. A starfish has no brain, that we've found. Abraham Lincoln once was challenged to a duel and, given the choice of weapons, chose broadswords. Due to his significantly greater height, he had a massive reach advantage, causing his opponent to rethink his challenge. Due to the natural decay of potassium, bananas are mildly radioactive. You can tell the age of a clam by counting the rings, much like a tree. Some clams can live to be multiple centuries old. The reason onions make you tear up is because the sulfur in onion juice mixes with tears to produce sulfuric acid, which your body is desperately trying to flush out. Thanks for listening. I'm Lisanna Jeffries.
Insight Daily Radio.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 31st and last day of March, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 7:39. It will set again at 8:48. That will give us 13 hours and 9 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 5 minutes compared to yesterday. A record high for this date was 52 degrees, set in 1970, and a record low was -3, set in 1944. Certainly closer to the high right now, as we have 41 degrees out at the airport. Light rain, fog, mist, and breezy. East winds 22 right now. And those easterly winds are expected to gust as high as 30 all day today and tonight. Look for rain today and tonight, too. And a high temperature of about 42. For tonight, a low temperature overnight of 34. We're going to see northeast winds to 20, gusting to 30. And little or no snow accumulation, but we may get a little rain and snow between 11 a.m. and 2 a.m., then snow after 2 a.m. For tomorrow, rain and snow becoming all rain after 2 p.m., high near 42 tomorrow too, with northeast winds to 15, gusting to 20. We have an incoming tide. Our next high tide here on the east side will happen at 2:29 this afternoon and be 8.7 feet. That'll be followed by a low tide at 8:37 p.m. of -0.5 feet. Our next high tide will be at 2:53 a.m. and be 8.9 feet. And our morning low tide here on the east side will happen at 9 a.m. and be -0.3 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will come up at 3:02 this afternoon and be 14.5 feet in Larsen Bay. That'll be followed by a low tide at 9:16 p.m. of -0.9 feet. Your middle of the night high tide will be at 3:22 a.m. and be 15.2 feet, and your morning low tide on the west side will happen at 9:39 a.m. and be -0.9 feet. Mariners, we have gale warnings all around the island. For Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore, gale warning through tonight, with east winds 35 knots, seas to 15 feet today, northeast 40, seas to 17 feet tonight, and for tomorrow, northeast 30, becoming south in the afternoon, seas to 15 feet tomorrow. For Friday night, southeast 25, seas to 14 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning through Friday, northeast 20, increasing to 35 knots this afternoon, seas building to 12 feet this afternoon. For tonight, northeast 45, seas to 16 feet, and for tomorrow in the Shelikof, northeast 40, diminishing to 30 knots tomorrow afternoon, seas to 15 feet, should come down to 12 feet tomorrow afternoon. For Friday night, east 30, seas to 9 feet in the Shelikof. The City Ports and Harbor Advisory Board will be having a meeting on Friday. That will be happening at 12 p.m. tomorrow in Fisherman's Hall. The meeting is open to the public, and the agendas and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. The meeting will also be web-streamed from that same site. For more information, call the Harbor Department at 486-8080. On Saturday, the Big Spaghetti Dinner is happening to benefit Kodiak 4-H's livestock project. That's happening Saturday at the Rendezvous between 4:30 and 6 p.m. $15 per plate. Baked goods by donation, and they have dine-in or take-out options. All proceeds benefit Kodiak 4-H's livestock project. There will be a Board of Education work session immediately followed by a special meeting next Monday, April 4th at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room. That's number F140 of the old high school wing. The meeting will also be streamed through BlueJeans. Meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District's website under the Board of Education tab. Including on the special meeting agenda are an executive session regarding personnel and legal matters, the 2022-23 certificated contracts, and the 22-23 administrator contract. Meeting agendas and packets can be viewed on board docs. That's at the Kodiak Island Borough School District website. For more information, contact Bianca Clark, the secretary, at 907-486-7566. The senior citizens of Kodiak is again in need of paper bags. Feel free to drop them off Monday through Friday now, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and they thank you in advance. The Kodiak History Museum is relaunching their temporary exhibit program, and they're looking for proposals about future exhibits. Is there a story that you think is not talked about enough? Is there a topic or issue that you would like to see explored? The Kodiak History Museum is accepting exhibit proposals for their new exhibit opening August 2022. Proposals must be submitted by May 1st. For more information on how to propose an exhibit, contact Lynn Walker, the curator, at curator@kodiakhistorymuseum.org or visit the Kodiak History Museum's website, and that's at www.kodiakhistorymuseum.org. And also the Kodiak History Museum's exhibit, Making History Day by Day, Kodiak, Our Stories and the COVID-19 Pandemic, is in their last couple of days at the Kodiak Public Library. They are scheduled to be there just until tomorrow. It's a reflection on the COVID experience in Kodiak, and the exhibit features stories and photos and more from members of the community. They are offering a Spanish pastry making class. Learn to make grandma's Spanish pastry recipe just in time for springtime brunches. It can also be made deliciously vegan and gluten-free, and friends and family will never know. Follow along at home and then enjoy your delectable dish. It's happening Thursday, April 14th, between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. The class is via Zoom, and the instructor is Jocelyn Keyes. You can register at kodiakcollege.asapconnected.com. That's kodiakcollege.asapconnected.com. Well, it's a lovely day out there. Look for more of these rain and snow showers tomorrow as well, becoming all rain after 2 p.m. These easterly winds are expected to turn to the northeast at 15, gusting to 20. For Friday night, rain showers before 8, then rain and snow between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m., then snow showers after 11 p.m. on Friday. East winds gusting as high as 20. And for Saturday, scattered rain and snow showers before 2 p.m., then a chance of rain showers after 5 p.m. on Saturday. Mostly cloudy skies with a high of 42, east winds to 5. And we're looking for chance of rain showers Saturday night, chance of snow showers on Sunday, and sort of chance of rain and snow showers through Wednesday, it looks like. So we might not get a chance to see those auroras that are being broadcast throughout the state. The Borough Assembly will be meeting for a work session this Thursday, March 31st, at 6:30 p.m. in the Borough Assembly Chambers. This meeting will also be streamed online at www.kodiakak.us, the Borough Assembly website. On the agenda are ARPA funding, the general budget, KIBSD budget, borough land leasing procedures, auditing services, the 2023 Community Assistance Program, communication towers, and an opioid settlement fund. Comments can be made during the meeting by phone at 907-486-3231 or emailed to clerks@kodiakak.us by noon on Thursday. Want more information? Call the clerk's office at 907-486-9310.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Arts Council presents the Roots Music Powerhouse Duo, The Small Glories, on Thursday, March 31st at 7 p.m. at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. Kara Luft and J.D. Edwards are a musical tour de force partnership planted on the Canadian prairies.
I've seen the Rockies rise high above the trees. I've seen the Northern Lights brought me to my knees.
NPR Music says Luft is a Waylon Jennings alum whose work on the Clawhammer banjo is to die for, while Edwards' guitar and vocal harmonies deepen and enrich the duo's sound. Don't miss this opportunity to see the Small Glories perform live in Kodiak. Tickets are available at KodiakArts.org or at the box office the day of the show.